Let's be real, charm isn't about being nice. It's about control. We live in a world where everyone is screaming for attention and only a few understand how to subtly own a room. I used to think being charming meant constantly being polite, always smiling, and never ruffling feathers. But then I realized, people don't remember those who fade into the background. They remember those who make them feel special. I've watched friends get walked over because they tried too hard to be liked. Meanwhile, those who mastered the art of calculated charm, myself included, moved through life with ease. Here's the controversial truth. If you want people to feel special around you, you don't need to be genuine all the time. You just need to make them believe you are. And honestly, that's how you win. 1. Use their name often but subtly. There's an unspoken power in a person's name. It's like a switch in the brain that snaps to attention the moment you hear it. Think about it. In a crowded room, you could be lost in thought, distracted by 100 things. But if someone says your name, it's like everything else fades for a split second. That's the power of recognition. It taps into the most basic human desire to be seen and acknowledged. But here's the thing. Most people abuse this power. They think tossing someone's name into every sentence will somehow make the conversation feel more personal. It doesn't. In fact, it can come off as lazy or even manipulative if overdone. I've sat through conversations where I felt like I was being pandered to, as if the person was just reading from a playbook on how to be likable. It's exhausting, and honestly, it makes me trust them less. No one likes to feel like they're part of someone's formula. I used to be that person. Someone who thought using names in every other sentence was some kind of magical social hack. Back in my early days of networking, I was eager to make connections and tried to get people on my side. So I'd throw their name into the conversation constantly. Hey Mark, great point. Mark, what do you think about this? It was too much. It felt artificial because it was artificial. I thought I was being slick, but I was only distancing myself from real, meaningful connection. One day, a colleague straight up called me out on it, and at first I felt embarrassed. But that was my wake-up call. I realized I wasn't truly engaging with people. I was just trying to manipulate them into liking me. The deep message here? People don't want to feel like pawns in your social chess game. Yes, using their name can make them feel recognized, but it's not just about the name. It's about when and how you use it. The subtlety of it is the real art. Drop their name when you're making a serious point, when you want to emphasize something personal or meaningful. It signals to them that in this moment, they are the center of your attention. Not because you asterisk have asterisk to make them feel special, but because you asterisk choose asterisk too. This isn't about trickery. It's about understanding human nature. People crave recognition, but they also crave authenticity. Using their name too much, too predictably, is a dead giveaway that you're not being real. You want to build real connections? Use their name sparingly but powerfully. That's how you balance respect with charm. And here's the controversial part. Manipulating people's emotions doesn't always feel wrong. Is it really so bad if you're using these tactics to make them feel good about themselves? We all have our insecurities, our moments of feeling invisible. Sometimes a little extra attention, like hearing your name at the right time, is all it takes to lift someone's day. So yes, I'm suggesting you use this to your advantage, but not at the expense of honesty. Make people feel seen, but not because it benefits you. Do it because deep down, everyone wants to matter. In the end, it's a delicate balance. The name is just a tool, but how you wield it defines whether you're being manipulative or genuine. And people can sense the difference. So use their name often enough to remind them they matter, but subtle enough that it never feels like you're just going through the motions. Charm is about making people feel important. But the trick is to make them believe they actually are important to you, not just in that moment, but in the bigger picture. 2. Listen to understand, not to respond. Listening is one of the most underrated skills in the art of charm. yet it's the foundation of making people feel truly special. The problem? Most of us don't actually listen. We wait for our turn to speak. We're so busy crafting our next brilliant response that we miss the chance to really hear what someone is saying. And that's the fastest way to make someone feel invisible. Here's a controversial truth. If you're not listening to understand, you're wasting your time. I've been guilty of it myself. Sitting in conversations, nodding along, pretending to be engaged, but internally preparing my next point. And guess what? People feel that. They know when you're just waiting for your turn to talk. It doesn't make them feel valued. It makes them feel used. That's not charm. That's selfishness. But when you listen to truly understand, not only are you showing that person respect, but you're also building a connection that's deeper than surface-level chit-chat. You're giving them the space to be heard without the pressure of a back-and-forth debate. I remember a time I was having a conversation with a colleague who was clearly going through a tough time. My natural instinct was to jump in and offer advice to fix their problem. But instead, I stopped myself and just listened. No interjections, no advice, just pure attention. And you know what happened? They opened up even more because they felt safe. By the end of the conversation, they told me, "I've never felt so heard." That was the moment I realized, sometimes the best thing you can do is simply listen. Here's the deeper message. In a world full of noise, genuine listening is a rare gift. People don't want constant advice or opinions. They want understanding. They want to feel like someone gets them. And when you can give that gift, you instantly stand out as someone who cares. That's real charm. So stop listening just to reply. Listen to understand. That's how you make people feel truly seen and valued. And that's where the real magic of connection happens. 3. End conversations first, but on a high note. Ending a conversation is an art form, and it's often misunderstood. Here's a little secret. The most charming people don't just participate in conversations, they master the timing of their exit. I learned this through trial and error, often the hard way. I used to stay in conversations long after they had reached their peak, thinking that lingering was a sign of dedication or interest. But here's the kicker. Sticking around too long can actually dilute the impact of your presence. In one memorable instance, I was at a networking event trying to make connections. I found myself in a riveting conversation with a prominent industry figure. Everything was going great. I was engaging, making witty remarks, and feeling like I was hitting all the right notes. But I didn't know when to leave. I stayed until the conversation had run its course. And by the end, it felt more like a drawn-out performance rather than an engaging dialogue. The result? I left a lasting impression, but not the kind I wanted. The person I spoke to was polite, but I could tell I'd overstayed my welcome. The real lesson here is understanding the power of a perfectly timed exit. Ending a conversation first, but on a high note, leaves people with a lingering sense of satisfaction and a desire for more. It's like walking out of a great movie just before the credits roll, leaving the audience wanting a sequel. This tactic isn't about being rude or disinterested. It's about maximizing the impact of your presence. Here's a controversial take. Most people don't know how to leave a conversation gracefully because they're too focused on the idea of not appearing rude. But being overly concerned with manners can actually be more damaging than just making a swift, impactful exit. When you leave a conversation while it's still enjoyable, you're not just avoiding overstaying your welcome. You're also ensuring that your departure feels like a natural conclusion rather than a forced end. For example, I've had colleagues who would insist on hanging around after meetings or social events, trying to keep the conversation alive long after the energy had faded. It was like they were afraid of leaving, as if doing so would mean they were missing out on something. What they didn't realize was that by sticking around, they often ended up diminishing their own appeal. The charm lies in the ability to sense when the conversation has reached its peak, and then to leave while everyone still feels good about the interaction. Ending a conversation first can feel a bit like playing a game, and yes, it can be a bit manipulative. It's not about being deceptive, it's about controlling the dynamic to ensure that your departure is memorable. The high note you're leaving on is a deliberate choice. It's a final impression that sticks with people long after you've gone. It's the difference between leaving a party when it's still lively and being the last one there, making awkward small talk as everyone else has already moved on. So embrace the art of the well-timed exit. Make your departure when the conversation is still fresh, interesting, and enjoyable. It's a calculated move that speaks volumes about your social skills and self-awareness. People remember how you made them feel, not just the content of the conversation. And if you can leave them with a positive, lingering impression, you'll find that your charm isn't just a momentary effect. It's something that keeps them thinking about you long after you've left the room. 4. Remember the little details. Remembering the little details is like holding the keys to someone's emotional vault. It's one of the simplest yet most effective ways to make people feel truly valued. But here's where most people get it wrong. They focus on the big stuff, thinking that remembering someone's birthday or their job title is enough. It's not. Real charm lies in the minutiae, in those tiny fragments of conversation that most people overlook. I learned this the hard way. Early on, I was guilty of glossing over the small details. I'd remember the important things like names or big milestones, but I'd forget those minor, seemingly insignificant details, like someone mentioning how they were struggling to find a new hobby, or that they preferred a certain type of tea. And you know what? It showed. My conversations were surface level, my connections felt hollow. I was being friendly, sure, but not memorable. One day, a close friend casually mentioned in passing that they'd been trying to learn the guitar, something they hadn't really told many people. Weeks later, I followed up with, "How's the guitar practice going?" Their reaction was priceless. They were genuinely shocked that I remembered something they thought was trivial. That's when it clicked for me. What you remember tells people what you value about them. And when you value the small details, people feel truly seen. It shows that you're not just listening, you're investing in them. But here's the controversial truth. Remembering little details is a form of subtle control. When you recall those tiny fragments, you're telling people that you're paying attention in ways others aren't. It's like you're offering them a glimpse of your focus, making them feel important without directly saying it. It's a powerful, quiet way of building trust and rapport. And it's manipulative, don't get me wrong. It can be used to charm people, to make them feel special, even if your intention is simply to get something from them later. The point is, it works. Let me be brutally honest. People crave this kind of attention. In a world where everyone is too busy looking at their phones or thinking about themselves, remembering small details about someone else's life is a rare and precious gift. It's something people don't even realize they need until they experience it. The truth is, when someone feels like you've noticed those small things, they start to open up to you in ways they wouldn't with others. You become the person who gets them, the one they can trust with the things that others ignore. For instance, I once worked with a colleague who casually mentioned her favorite type of chocolate in a conversation. I mentally filed it away and didn't think much of it at the time. Months later, I had a chance to bring it up when I was getting gifts for the team. I got her that specific chocolate and she was floored, not because it was expensive or extravagant, but because I remembered. That one small gesture changed the dynamic between us. She opened up more, and our working relationship became far more relaxed and productive. It wasn't about the chocolate. It was about the recognition that she mattered enough for me to remember something so trivial. The deeper message here? The little details you remember have a massive ripple effect. People are constantly bombarded with superficial connections, everyone's in a hurry, skimming over conversations, treating interactions like checklists. When you stop and recall something specific, something seemingly insignificant, it tells them that you value the moments that most people ignore. It's not just charming, it's transformative. You go from being a casual acquaintance to someone who feels reliable, someone who cares. And the best part? It doesn't take much effort. Just pay attention. Take a mental note when someone mentions something small, because to them it's never really small. And let's be real, this approach also gives you an edge. In social and professional settings, being the person who remembers the details makes you stand out. It's a competitive world, and people gravitate toward those who make them feel valued in ways others don't. So yes, remembering the little details can make you more likable and influential, but don't mistake it for just being nice. It's a strategic move, one that can pay off in both personal and professional realms. At the end of the day, it's not about pretending to be perfect, it's about being present. The little details may seem insignificant, but they hold the power to build connections that last. And people will always remember how you made them feel, long after they've forgotten the exact words you said. 5. Be vulnerable in a calculated way. Vulnerability is a double-edged sword. In the right hands, it's powerful. Opening up can create deep connections and make you seem real, approachable, and even charismatic. But here's the twist. Real charm doesn't come from pouring your heart out indiscriminately. It comes from sharing just enough vulnerability to be relatable without losing your control over the situation. It's a calculated balance, and yes, it can be highly manipulative. Let's be honest. People love vulnerability. It's the thing that breaks down walls and humanizes you. But if you think being open means baring your soul every time someone asks how you're doing, you're playing a losing game. I've been there. I used to think that the more I shared about my struggles, the more people would trust me and feel connected to me. I'd tell stories of personal challenges, my mistakes and failures, thinking it would deepen my relationships, and for a while it worked, until it didn't. What I didn't realize at the time is that uncontrolled vulnerability can backfire. When you share too much too soon, it can make you seem weak, desperate for attention, or even manipulative in a bad way. People start to wonder why you're so eager to expose your flaws. Are you looking for sympathy? Are you fishing for validation? Or worse, are you oversharing because you have no sense of boundaries? That's when I realized being vulnerable isn't about total transparency, it's about strategic transparency. Here's a personal example. I was once in a meeting where tensions were high, and I could tell my colleagues were looking for a reason to disengage. Instead of trying to power through the conversation with bravado, I shared a story about a time I had made a costly mistake at work. But I didn't just lay it all out there. I framed it in a way that showed I'd learned from the experience and turned it into a strength. By sharing just enough vulnerability, I humanized myself without losing authority. The atmosphere shifted immediately. People started opening up, sharing their own concerns and mistakes. Suddenly, I wasn't just another figure in the room. I was someone they could relate to, someone they could trust. The controversial truth: being vulnerable in a calculated way is a tactic. You're not just sharing to connect, you're sharing to control the narrative. By revealing something personal, you're creating a sense of trust and intimacy. But here's the key: you only reveal what you want them to see. It's like showing your cards in poker. You never put everything on the table, just enough to keep them intrigued. This doesn't mean you're being fake. It means you're being selective. You're choosing the aspects of your vulnerability that will benefit you without giving people access to parts of you they haven't earned the right to know. This kind of calculated vulnerability can be used in personal relationships too. Think about those times when someone has shared something deeply personal with you out of the blue. It can feel jarring, even uncomfortable. Now compare that to someone who shares a bit of their struggles after you've already built a rapport. The difference is timing and intention. One feels forced, the other feels natural. It's not about hiding who you are. It's about crafting the way you present yourself. Here's the deep message. Vulnerability is a powerful tool, but it's only as effective as your ability to control it. You don't have to open up to everyone about your deepest fears and insecurities to create a connection. In fact, doing that too often can cheapen the very thing you're trying to build. True charm comes from being selective with your vulnerability, sharing it at just the right moments, with just the right people, in just the right way. And yes, that's controversial. People often believe that vulnerability is about being completely open, but the truth is, complete openness isn't always strategic. It can leave you exposed, and in the wrong context, it can work against you. The most charismatic people know how to be vulnerable in a way that draws people in without ever losing their sense of self-possession. They control how much of themselves they reveal, and in doing so, they maintain their charm while building deeper, more meaningful connections. At the end of the day, vulnerability isn't just about honesty, it's about calculated honesty. It's about showing people enough of yourself to make them feel connected, while still keeping control of the story you're telling. When done right, this balance makes you unforgettable, because people will see you as authentic, but also as someone who knows their worth and isn't afraid to wield it. 6. Ask deep questions, but don't answer them. Asking deep questions is one of the most underrated skills when it comes to building connections. But here's the twist. It's not about you answering those questions. It's about making the other person feel like the center of attention, giving them space to open up and share their inner world while you stay a bit more enigmatic. And that, my friends, is where the real charm lies. Let's break this down. When you ask someone a deep question, something more profound than the usual "how's work" or "what's new," you're inviting them to share something that goes beyond the surface level. You're essentially saying, "I'm interested in who you really are, not just what you show the world." But here's where it gets tricky. People tend to think that deep questions should be mutual. You ask, they answer, and then you answer. That's where most people get it wrong. Answering those same questions yourself takes the spotlight off of them and diminishes the effect of your curiosity. Years ago, I was at a dinner party with a group of colleagues, and the conversation was starting to drag. People were exchanging small talk, and the energy felt stale. So I decided to shake things up. I turned to one of my colleagues and asked, "What's something you've always wanted to do, but you've been too scared to try?" The mood shifted instantly. Suddenly, this person started sharing a dream they had kept hidden for years, something about traveling solo across Europe. The room quieted down, and all attention was on them. They were glowing with the excitement of sharing something deeply personal. When they finished, they turned to me and asked, "What about you?" I could have taken that moment to dive into my own story, to share something equally vulnerable, but instead I deflected in a charming way. I smiled and said, "Oh, we'll get to me, but I want to hear more about why you haven't gone on that trip yet." And just like that, the spotlight stayed on them and they kept talking. I became the person who cared enough to ask, but mysterious enough to keep my own cards close to my chest. By the end of the night, people were telling me how great the conversation was, even though I had barely shared anything personal. The secret? I made it about them. Here's the controversial part. Charm isn't just about being open or sharing your soul. Sometimes the most captivating people are the ones who remain a little mysterious, who create space for others to shine without giving away too much of themselves. People love talking about themselves, especially when they feel like the person they're talking to genuinely cares. Asking deep questions puts them in the spotlight, but not answering them keeps you in control of the conversation. You're the conductor of the symphony, directing attention where you want it to go. Now, I'm not saying you should be evasive or secretive all the time. It's about balance. You want to engage people with meaningful conversation, but you don't want to overshare or overshadow them. If you reveal too much about yourself, you lose that aura of intrigue. Being slightly enigmatic makes people curious, and curiosity is the foundation of attraction, whether in social or professional situations. Let me give you another example. I once had a coworker who was incredibly charming, but in a very subtle way. He would always ask these thought-provoking questions like, "What's one thing you wish more people understood about you?" Or, "If you could relive one moment in your life, what would it be?" He got everyone talking, sharing, opening up, but he almost never answered those questions himself. At first I found it odd, but over time I realized it was intentional. He wasn't being distant, he was being strategic. People wanted to be around him because they felt understood, even though they knew very little about him. His charm came from his ability to keep the focus on others while maintaining an air of mystery. The deeper message here: asking deep questions shows that you're not interested in surface-level interactions. It shows you're invested in truly understanding someone. But not answering those same questions keeps the dynamic one-sided in a way that works to your advantage. You remain the curious, caring listener, the person who makes others feel special, without ever revealing too much of your own vulnerability. It creates a magnetic pull. People want to know more about you, but you're not giving them everything up front. It's this delicate balance between openness and restraint that makes you memorable. And here's where it gets even more controversial. Withholding answers isn't about being disingenuous, it's about managing perception. When you ask deep questions but don't answer them yourself, you're controlling the pace and tone of the conversation. You're directing the emotional energy toward them, allowing them to feel important and valued. It's a calculated move that shows you're not just casually engaging, you're crafting an interaction that leaves them thinking about you long after the conversation ends. In the end, charm isn't about being an open book. It's about being a book that people want to keep reading, even if they can only peek at a few pages at a time. So, ask those deep questions. Get people talking. Make them feel seen. But keep your answers to yourself, because sometimes the most intriguing thing you can do is leave a little mystery hanging in the air. That's how you make people feel special around you, while keeping them wanting more. At the end of the day, charm isn't about pretending to be someone you're not or being liked by everyone. It's about mastering the subtle art of making people feel special without losing yourself in the process. The key? Balance. Show vulnerability, but keep a little mystery. Ask deep questions, but don't always answer them. Charm is about making others feel important while maintaining your own self-respect and boundaries. The truth is, real charm isn't just about being likable. It's about leaving a lasting impression by knowing when to hold back and let others shine. Yes, some may say it's manipulative, but when done with good intent, it's simply the art of meaningful connection. Charm isn't just a social trick. It's a reflection of how you see yourself and others. When you make people feel truly seen and heard, you create moments that stay with them. But remember, you're still in control, and that's the power. Charm is about leaving an impact, making them feel something real, and that's what keeps them coming back.